Sometimes I like to do a little go back in time. I like to figure out where guys have gone, girls have gone since I first met them. And there are a handful. I mean, obviously, you can imagine I've met a lot of startups and a lot of founders, and they usually have a pretty crazy story. Most of them, I think, are sociopaths. I categorize myself maybe as a sociopath. But the bottom line is, like, they're just funny people, as you've probably noticed from listening to these shows and watching them and seeing the videos. Like, technology breeds geeks and weirdos, which is cool. Entrepreneurs breeds geeks, weirdos, sociopaths, and like just altogether wild and crazy people. And as you can probably figure, a handful have stood out of my mind. And one of the people who is at the very, very tippy top of this is David Rabbi of Tavala. I met David Rabbi of Tavala. Well, actually, I should say this first. I heard of David Rabbi of Tavala numerous times of people who are like, did you hear about this guy from University of Chicago who lugs around a microwave all over the city of Chicago just trying to like raise money and awareness? And I was like, no, but I have to meet this guy. So I'm over at 1871 and Northwestern University, which is my grad school alum. They had an office that I used to work out of occasionally, and next to it was the University of Chicago alum office, which is, you know, probably not ideal because there's a little rivalry there, although I think we overtook him in the NBA a little while ago, but anyway, doesn't matter. David was in there, and of course, he was there with his microwave, which he'd be pissed because it's not a microwave. It's like a completely innovative, never seen before steam bath engine thing, majig. I don't know. It's awesome. But at the time, it was huge and crazy. And I never forgot him. I never forgot this story of this entrepreneur with this idea that was just insane. I'm going to build this hardware. You're going to buy it. I'm going to give you all kinds of food. It's fresh cooked. It's just, it was so different. And it was just a one-man show at the time, or at least that's what I thought. And so for the last, I don't know, call it a year and change, 14, 15 months, every 5 or 6 months, I see another story come out of David Rabbi. Tavala raises $6 million, raises $5 million, raises $4 million. He's raised like $13.5 million. And you're like, what is it? What is he raising money on? What is the company? And what has he grown into? And so I decided to call him up and be like, listen, I'm hungry for one. And we do our shows from noon to 1:30 at WGN Radio. So it was a good time for lunch. He showed up here. He brought the Tavala. He sold me a Tavala, which is also an important part here. If you're a CEO or founder, if you're not a good salesman, I recommend maybe finding a different gig because he just sold me a Tavala. And I will tell you right now, a $299 Tavala and $12 meals, and I feel like it's a bargain. He came in here and walked us, and you'll get to listen to the whole track, and there's pictures and stuff on Instagram at Technori. You can follow and see how he cooked the meal right in front of me, and we ate it. It was salmon. It was delicious. But the bottom line is, this dude figured out how to build the hardware. Then he figured out how to build a sort of a it's not a SaaS, but like a subscription play around it. Then he figured out how to build an app to make it to where there was no mistakes. The customer service experience is going to be insane. You literally just plug in the app, what you want to eat, and this machine will just cook exactly based on the recipes that are already preloaded. This whole thing, if it reminds you at all of iTunes, that's what it reminds me of. It's the same model. He basically created the iTunes for food model. That's how I view this. Regardless, you are going to absolutely love listening to David Rabbi cook me a delicious salmon and potatoes meal while he tells me and you about how he built this insane company that I'm telling you right now. He's going to be back in about 2 years talking about a half a billion dollar acquisition or more. So in addition to selling me his Tavala machine, I'm hoping he'll sell me some stock. So this is me talking to David Rabbi, founder CEO of Tavala. First time I actually like really engaged with you was sitting inside the University of Chicago office within 1871. And at the time, you literally were lugging around like this prototype of this machine, which you're going to talk about, which is sitting in front of us. There'll be shots on Instagram videos of this because I think we're actually going to eat food here in the studio, which is amazing. We're going to cook a whole meal of food. What are we making today?
We're making Chesapeake Bay roasted salmon with fingerling potatoes.
Yeah, we're having salmon for lunch in studio in 13 minutes, and we're going to start cooking while we're on the show because David is multifaceted like that. But the story that you have, I think, is particularly funny, but also really interesting and different for entrepreneurs because I think most of them have like these preconceived notions. You want to be like this cool like startup guy. I'm a tech leader. And I remember, like, you telling me about you lugging this thing around, like, on a bus, going from Hyde Park back and forth. Like, there was nothing sexy about the beginning of this journey except for the hustle that you put into it. So why don't, before we get into, like, all of the stuff, why don't we talk about just what it has taken for you as an entrepreneur to get from this idea to this point where you have a machine that's going to make us amazing lunch in, like, a very short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm blessed now. I've got two interns that help me carry things, but... when we met, there was nobody else, right?
Yeah.
It was just me, and I did have this giant prototype that I took to New York, to San Francisco, all over Chicago, to the Midwest, just trying to raise money for this crazy idea. And our concept is pretty crazy, right? Like, we've built a physical device. It's cloud-connected. It's got mobile apps that work with it. And then there's a whole food system that goes with it, too. So it's really multiple companies all working synergistically together. And in the early days, it's kind of crazy for anyone to, like, really think about giving us money when it was just me with a prototype that barely worked.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as I think back, this was like 3 years ago that we met. I really just took it one step at a time. And, you know, I didn't think too far ahead. It's like, if at that time I thought about how are we going to have a full operation where we've got 20 people in our kitchen making food, we're changing recipes every week, we're producing thousands of ovens, we're shipping thousands of meals every week, we've got mobile apps that are updating, I don't think I ever would have started.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the other part about this. And I found this is interesting. So we should probably start cooking food first. So let's
do that.
We are going to make salmon right here. And again, there'll be a little video on this on Instagram. Follow us on Technori, and of course, it'll be tagged on There's Tavala, so check us out. I'm going to have you start preparing because you're the master chef here. And I'm just going to talk at you, and you can answer as you see fit.
Fingerling potatoes right here.
All righty. Love potatoes.
And then
fat Irish kid.
Fresh piece of salmon right here. So
okay.
Part of the magic is that the meals arrive totally raw.
Okay.
For the most part.
Yep.
Some things are par-cooked, but our proteins in particular arrive completely raw.
And these are sourced where?
It depends. So we've got different vendors for different parts of our business. So we've got a salmon vendor. We've got vegetable vendors. We try when we can to do local.
Yep.
Our chicken is hormone-free. Some of our beef is grass-fed. Our salmon is sustainably sourced. Clean ingredients are super, super important to us. So, like, you won't find any preservatives. You won't find additives. This is all, like, stuff that, you know, the ingredients are ones your grandmother would recognize and that I would eat in my own home.
Yep.
And that's been the driving philosophy for the company from day one. And furthermore, like, our meal, you know, we'll have three gluten-free meals on the menu every week. There's a couple vegetarian options. Most of the meals are high protein. So we're really trying to cater to people that are conscious about what they eat. They want portion control, but they want something that's damn tasty.
Yep.
And that's where the magic of the oven comes in and our whole team of chefs that kind of figure out the perfect way to cook all of these dishes.
So this is the part about this that I think is really interesting. And obviously, we're going to kind of, you're going to notice we're going to, like, sporadically bounce back and forth a little bit between your journey and what the company is now, because one of the things that's particularly fascinating for me, but also just for I guess for you too, is we've had several founders of companies that are in sort of semi in your space. So I don't mean in the machine part of the space, but that are trying to serve people who want to eat clean food, want to eat sustainable food, want to make it in a way that is either very easy for them or it's healthy, or there are options that are, you know, particularly unique. And in your business line, which, you know, like you said before, when you were first trucking around with the machine itself, the thought process wasn't going to build an app. The thought process wasn't, you know, we're going to have this sustainable meal and sourcing, you know, farm to fridge stuff. But ultimately, you find as you're going to be successful, you're going to have to take all of those into account. And we just had Pat from Home Chef on the show not that long ago, and they just did the $700 million deal with Kroger. And he was like, honest to God, they're really, I mean, he did say this. I don't know how much he meant it or was just being humble, but there really isn't that much of a difference between what we do and what a lot of our competitors that aren't making money are doing. The difference is we know our customer and we know our SKUs. We know everything about the supply chain. And for you, it's even more important because your supply chain is building machinery.
Right.
It's sourcing food. It's cooking and building SKUs that you know people will eat. You know, more than 70% of people are going to eat this. Otherwise, you're losing a lot of money.
Right.
So there's a lot of pieces. How did you get to this point? Like, what was that first moment where you're like, oh, shit, this is more than just a machine? Because that had to be like a moment where you're like, this is awesome. And this is also a huge problem.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say that moment happened many, many times.
Oh, yeah, it's probably still happening. It's happening right now on the show.
It still happens all the time. You know, my own philosophy on management and leadership, especially as it relates to starting a company, is you really have to give people a lot of autonomy and ownership in the early days, especially if you're building a really complicated business. And so, you know, we launched the company with 12 people, 13 people, and then a team in the kitchen. And so every person was basically a department.
Yeah.
You know, like we had one chef for the majority of the, you know, 10, 12 months leading up to launch. And then our sous chef joined a little bit before. But between them, they had to figure out how to design tons of recipes, because every week our recipes change. How to figure out recipes that you make on your own outside of our meals.
Yep.
How to source all those things. So, like, where do we get our salmon? Yeah. Where do we get our chicken? All the different things. How do we make them in huge quantities?
How do you package them so they can be shipped out the right way for these people? I mean, there's so many things.
So many things, right? Shelf life. So you get this piece of salmon. How do we know that it's going to last for 5 days, six days, so that it's valuable to you as a consumer? Because if you get the salmon and it expires tomorrow, worthless, right?
Yep.
And then to your point, from the ops standpoint, how do we ship it safely? How does it arrive safely? How do we track the packages? How do we do that on a consistent basis? And then how do we make money doing it?
Yeah.
And so, like, at the beginning, making money wasn't the objective. Really, the only thing.
Well, with what you've got going on, it can't be. I
mean, not at day one.
If that was, obviously you want to make money long term, but, like, it can't be the focus, because you need to find out, quite honestly, first off, you got to build the machine that works, but second, you've got to be able to actually find out what the customers want and what they'll use it for.
Right.
In your mind, in my mind, I'm like, this would be a great tool, particularly if I, you know, do download the app and I do buy all of the stuff. We'll bring it in our office. I think you already sold me on this. If I can't get Jen to buy it, I'm bringing this to my office, and this is our thing, and we can use it. But then there's this whole other market that you mentioned a couple of times of making my own food.
Yes.
Which is really important. It's got to be multiple value.
Like, we now have this amazing Facebook group that customers have started where they're just exchanging recipes on a regular basis. Like, I tried doing this with my tavala. I tried doing that with my tavala, because you can customize it and do whatever you want with it, right?
Yeah.
So you can make your own cook cycle where you steam at whatever temperature you want. You can bake, you can broil, you can do it in multiple steps. And you can make everything from eggs to mussels to chicken to all different kinds of vegetables to frozen food, fresh food. And people are getting really creative with it. And it's kind of building its own community of what people are doing with their own food. And the way we see the customer use case is, it's there when you want to cook with it, if you want, right? Like, Sunday, I've got a lot of time, I'm going to make a big meal. Or in the mornings, I'm going to make my scrambled eggs or soft-boiled eggs.
How long does it take to cook scrambled eggs?
So we do eggs over easy, which takes, I think, 8 minutes.
Okay.
Soft-boiled eggs take 8.5 minutes. Medium-boiled eggs take 10 minutes. And, like, literally, you take the egg, put it in the oven, push a button on your phone, and that's it. And it comes out perfect every time. It's, like, magical the first time you do it.
Well, I was going to say, so, like, let's talk about the user experience a little bit, because I noticed you did this. When you walked in, you've got the package of food, which, by the way, says nutrition, all the stuff on the back of it. It looks like you've got all the ingredients and things that people are allergy problems. Like, Jen, my fiance, is a nut allergy person.
Right.
So, like, to know that the food is coming and that there's options for that, I assume you can go on the app and figure out what you
all
want.
All the allergens are listed there. We actually make our food in a nut-free facility.
So there you go. So you're, like, perfectly set. Another sales point, Jen, if you're listening. We need this thing in our house. But what I noticed about it was you took the box and you just scanned the SKU on the back of it and the thing started cooking.
That's the magic, right? So our chefs have figured out the perfect way to cook every single one of our dishes. And when you scan the QR code, the oven downloads that recipe they've created and then executes. And so fish is a really good example. The best way to make fish is to steam it a little bit and then drop it in a super hot oven where it's broiling and you get, like, a nice char on top.
Yep.
When you scan the code, it does that automatically.
That's
so
insane.
It changes different ways of cooking over the course of the 13 minutes it takes to cook this dish. So 30 seconds of prep, 13 minutes of the oven doing its thing, and then you've got a restaurant quality meal on your table within 15 minutes.
You are my hero. I'm going to ask you a really dumb question now.
Sure.
How much has this product changed, and what has surprised you about the product since I met you the first time you were lugging it around on a bus?
Yeah, so the form factor...
Other than being better, like, other than just, like, it actually works.
Yeah, the form factor of the device has changed completely.
Yep.
The way we're getting you the food has changed completely. The value proposition hasn't. Like,
sure.
From the very beginning, the whole idea was, how do we get delicious, healthy food to people and make it so they don't have to do anything?
Yep.
And I really wanted to get raw ingredients that are cooked perfectly so that it was the same as though I was making it myself, but we take out all the hard work of marinating, making sauces, chopping, prepping, and even the cleaning.
Yeah.
So, like, that hasn't changed, but the initial prototype was this three-chamber device that looked more like a humidifier than an appliance.
I remember seeing it, like, it's very cool, but I'm already intimidated. I can barely turn on a stove.
Right, exactly. So now this is much more like a toaster oven,
is
the way to think about it. That's how it functions.
This thing is awesome.
It also steams, but the look and feel has really changed.
Yep.
And same with how we get people the food.
And on the, so I assume you're continuing to iterate on like building this, like how are you looking at compact versions of the different, like is a restaurant quality commercial versions? Like what are the SKUs you have on the actual hardware? Cause what I like about your business that I don't like about a lot of the food, you know, food delivery services, not sticky.
Right.
It's like, as soon as you try, like, oh, I did a subscription for Factor 75. I lost my weight before, you know, before the wedding. And then I don't have a use for you anymore, and I have no reason to call you. I've got Eat Purely sent me a free thing.
Right.
So I bounce around.
Right.
I bought an oven, and use it for a lot of stuff.
That's why we've invested so much in helping you make your own food with the oven, because we know people are going to cook our meals, but then they're going to take a break. You're going to get tired of eating our meals every week, or you're going to travel for a period of time, but people will still be cooking their own food all the time.
Yep.
And so as long as the oven is providing value to you on a regular basis, it deserves space on your countertop.
Absolutely.
And we see that in terms of the use case. People are constantly cooking their own food, but also our meals. And so it really provides value. And, you know, we have customers that have been with us now for 14 months, 15 months. And we imagine the life cycle of our customers is going to be 3 to 5 years at a minimum.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit more about the, I guess, personal advancement of, like, once you realize what you had in front of you, and that the, I'm going to assume you've had to raise some serious capital, or maybe not, you know, maybe it is. Can you say how much you've raised or where you're at?
We've raised about $13 million.
Okay, so you've raised a decent amount of money. What has been the process been like for you? Because you remind me, pretty much the same time I met, and you know him, I believe, Bo D'Arcy from Breakwater Chicago, another 1871.
I've met him, yeah. I've met
okay,
him
so once, Bo is another one who, when I first met him, he's like, I got this crazy idea. I'm going to put this thing out by the breakwater out in Lake Michigan. You're like, yeah, that's insane. And he hasn't gotten it out there yet. We'll see. He's making headways. But the pitch was like, dude, there's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you got a lot of, like, you're going to have to be one smart MF to get this thing done.
Right.
And you were very similar. It was like, this could be revolutionary for people cooking and being able to eat healthy and take, you know, like at work. Like, this, in my mind, I'm going on a random rant here. In my mind, what sucks about the work kitchenette is that there is rarely like a stove. And if there is, you're not going to be the guy who's like, oh, I'm going to boil up. You know, you're just not going to gourmet cook. You've got a microwave. Your microwave has this many options. And if you don't want to eat that, or you don't want to pack stuff and throw it in your microwave, then you're going out to eat. Or you're having other food delivered, which costs a ton. This is an option that is actually allows me to eat real food in my office space and like be healthy and happy and all that stuff.
Right.
But that's a lot.
Yeah.
And so, like with Bo, you have had to conquer a bunch of obstacles. What has it been like for you to learn and conquer?
Yeah, I think we never raised too much money, A, because we couldn't, but B, I also, I do believe in the curse of too much money, and you see a lot of companies that raise too much and they fold under the pressure and, you know, expectations and overhiring.
They just feel like they can spend more because they've got it.
Right, and I do feel like when you have too much money, you think you've proven things that maybe aren't true.
Yep.
And so we raised in a bunch of different chunks, and at each fundraise, we had proven a lot.
Yep.
And I think we'd really exceeded people's expectations, which is how we were able to raise more and more funding. And, you know, each round was like, all right, now we've got a working prototype. Now we've got some paying customers. Now we did a Kickstarter campaign. Now we've got a ton of paying customers, you know? And so every round of funding, there were significant milestones that we'd accomplished that made it easier for us to raise and to raise more and more money.
Yep. So I want to ask, like, on the actual business side of this, what were the parts that you believed you had absolute expertise in when you got into it? And what were the parts that you've learned along the way that you have to master? And sort of like, in my own case, I always look back and think, like, I came into this knowing I had this certain skill set. Now, I actually think the things that I've learned along the way I'm better at than my original skill set was. Where are the pieces that you've been like, or were you just, you know, kid genius? You walked in and
I got it all. I like to say I'm pretty good about knowing what I don't know, and I don't know a lot about what we do even today, because I'm a big believer in the people that we've hired and delegating responsibilities to them. So particularly on the technology side, I'm not an engineer. I'm not a technologist. So, you know, building the oven, building
I know
the
what
software,
I want. You got to figure out how to build
it. Yeah, I think from the beginning we understood the value proposition that we wanted to deliver. But how to build it, you know, I left that to the experts that we hired.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest challenges that we still haven't cracked the nut of, and that I think we thought would be easier is how do we educate people on the product and explain to them that it's different than a meal kit. It's not prepackaged frozen food. The oven has all this application. It's not a microwave. And that has been a constant challenge for us, is how do we explain all these different value props to people? And what we're doing now, actually, is we're opening a store. We're opening a pop-up in Lincoln Park in Chicago.
Nice.
Really as a way to educate people, get them in front of the product, get them to try it, get them to understand, oh, cool, you've got these packaged meals when I don't want to cook, and then when I do want to cook, there's all these recipes I can make, and get them in front of the product so they can do it themselves and really understand firsthand, what is this experience like?
Well, you got to always break down the barrier, the fear barrier, and I think it's what one of the things that's interesting for you is you have built such an incredible product. And in general, like the service, the whole package mm-hmm. of what you do is incredible. But to your point, it is incredibly hard to explain to like a person like, so there's this whole system, right?
Right.
You download the app, you buy this machine, and then we fill the food. Like it's just a lot of stuff. But it's really actually simple, and it's stuff that people are doing already.
That's right.
They just don't do it in a row.
That's right.
And you need to make them do a row.
Yeah, and one way we're starting to really think about it is if you have tried a meal kit, any of them, and for some reason you stopped using it.
Yeah.
Either you're too tired when you get home to make the meals, the meals piled up, you don't have the energy to make them, you don't want to cook three nights a week, but you have a problem because Tuesday night at 7:30 you get home, you're tired, you really want to eat something good, you don't want to order delivery and spend $40 and get something that's lukewarm and not that good for you. This is an amazing solution for you. And we have tons of customers that fall into that bucket. They get the idea.
I'm in that bucket.
Right?
Like, I'm a perfect example of that bucket.
You understand, like, okay, we're going to ship you fresh ingredients that are raw. They're good for you. But then this oven, which uses very traditional heating methods, right? It's baking, it's steaming, it's broiling, but it's magical because we've controlled exactly how to cook your meal. You get the same outcome you would with a meal kit, guaranteed every time, because the oven doesn't screw up the way you might.
So I still think the Instapot's going to blow up and my house is going to explode. Like, that's just where I'm at on this.
Right,
this thing,
right.
Like, watching this firsthand, is like,
right.
Okay, it's like a convection oven, but, like, more.
Right, right.
A smart convection
oven. Right.
Like, an actually smart, not just because I can, like, you know, turn it on for my phone.
And so, today, like, people come to our website, they slowly learn about the product, but the best way is to get in front of them. Either our current customers will explain the product to them, or we'll do an event, and, like, this is what the pop-up in Lincoln Park is all about, is let's get in front of people. Let's explain the product. Let's get them to try it and really understand the value.
Very cool. If you might have heard this, we'll add the bing in later because there was a little bing here. The food is almost done, right?
And it's done.
It's done.
That's it.
We've got food done. And while,
steam, this is roasted fingerling potatoes right here and
that's
Chesapeake
amazing.
Bay roasted salmon.
Amazing.
Do you want to try it?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do it. And so, like, while we're doing this, this is amazing. Sorry, Bob. I'm eating lunch here and then we'll do lunch later. He even brought a plate. Do you carry? Is that so? Now your guys carry the machine and you just carry the plate.
Yeah, they make my life easy.
If one of them wants to pop up and help you with here, you can help him out or whatever you need to do.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Why don't you have that so he doesn't end up getting destroyed here? This is quite a CEO though. He cooks the food. He prepares the food. He makes it all.
My team sets me up for success.
Oh my God, I hear you. So the one thing I want to ask you, and I occasionally ask different founders about this, and yours is one that is, I think, particularly interesting and hopefully valuable to the listeners, the branding. So to walk me through a little bit about your concept on like the name of this, like this is, so like I always go back to how bad the Amazon smart speaker Echo, whatever would have been if Alexa didn't take off.
Right.
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 And so you've created this to me, which is like the food Alexa basically.
Yeah.
Branding on this, why did you choose Tavala? What does it mean? How does this relate to people? What should we understand?
Yeah, so the
and
name,
what went into it too? Like what was the process?
It's hard to come up with a name.
Especially for you because you've got to, this is something where if you screwed the brand up,
right,
it's real hard to go back and be like, well, we used to call it the Instabox maker thing, but now it's like, you know,
it's really hard for startups that like you have to assume there's gonna be a bunch of pivots in your business.
Yep.
And you don't know exactly what they're gonna be. But you got to come up with your name at day one, right? And changing your name is painful. A lot of companies do it, but it's a painful thing to
do. Absolutely.
And so coming up with a name where you can get the domain, right? This is like, what are we, 25 years into the internet? There's
very few
domains available.
With vowels.
Right.
I want all the vowels, please. I'll buy a vowel.
Right. With a trademark. Easy to pronounce. There's a lot of like check boxes that are just basic that you have to fulfill before you can come up with anything creative.
Yeah.
And so what we wanted to do was come up with something that was food related, that, you know, wasn't tied to any pre-existing notion. And so we did a lot of research. We looked at a lot of different dictionaries. We're looking at different languages, looking at different words that evoked the feelings we want in people. And ultimately, we settled on tavola because it's a spin on the Italian word for table,
okay,
which is tavola.
Yeah.
And really, the way we see people using the product is sitting around the table with their families enjoying food. And it's a really nice word. Tavola kind of rolls off the tongue. And, you know, whether people know the word tavola or not, we think it kind of sounds.
We should have heard
nice.
It. We just got back from Rome and the Baltic coast, so we definitely.
There are a lot of tavola restaurants all over the world.
Oh, absolutely.
And
so did you get help on this, or was this like you and?
No, we couldn't afford help.
That's again.
Yeah,
amazing.
We didn't have much money. So
how did you, like, I guess in the scheme of building this, how did you present the branding piece's value to the team? Like, did you make it very important? Like, how did you make it?
The name, when we came up with it, we were a team of less than five.
Oh, I'm in. Yeah, bring this food on in. Any sort of utensil.
Yeah, so I think it's got crispy onions on the top.
Right. I'll just use a spoon. That's fine. That's fine.
Crispy onions on the top, tartar sauce on the side.
This is insane.
And then fingerling potatoes.
People, I'm eating a gourmet meal that was cooked in 13 minutes while we were doing an interview. This is awesome.
This is what we do for lunch at the office every day. This is what I do.
I would hope so. I would hope you're not doing, like, you know, somebody else's food while you're there. Amazing.
Verdict?
Amazing. Amazing. I'm not even kidding. The salmon is incredible.
Yeah, thank you.
Perfectly done, exactly like you just said.
Yeah, and this is from our kitchen. Our kitchen is
45
minutes from here.
Tell me a little bit more about the kitchen, and I'm just going to gorge.
Yeah, so we have a kitchen in Gurnee. It's our own team that produces the meals.
This is ridiculous.
We're all, you know, everything is Chicago-based. The meals get produced fresh every single week, and the menu rotates, and then meals get shipped on Mondays. If you live in Chicago, you get your food on Tuesday. And it lasts for about a week.
What all goes? I'm just like, don't worry, people. I'm just stuffing my face with salmon.
Yeah, the meals are pretty complex in terms of what we do to them in advance. So, like, we make our own sauces from scratch. We'll marinate our chickens ourselves. We brine the chicken. We'll come up with, sometimes we'll par cook things. So, for example, we'll pair salmon and beets, mm-hmm. right? Salmon takes 10, 15 minutes to cook. Beets will take 30 minutes to an hour, you know, depending on how small they're cut and marinated. So we might
time and stuff up.
We might par cook the beets for 15 minutes, like to the perfect amount so that it cooks with the salmon and everything comes out at once. We don't want people having to go back and forth to their oven to add things in at different times. Everything goes in at once and comes out together.
We love beets, Jen. You should also listen to that. We like beets a lot. This is absolutely insane. The amount of growth that you have had since I met you is ridiculous. Seriously. I don't know where we're at, like 700 founders or something crazy. And you were one that has stuck out to me from the minute I met you, not just because you lugged around an electrical device. It was a microwave, basically. But to see the growth you guys have had is incredible. You're going to set the world on fire.
I appreciate it.
And this food is legit.
Thank you.
You have closed the deal here. The other guest we had on before, awesome guy, tried to sell me a colonoscopy. Hard sale. I said yes, but only because he had a camera. I'm legit. This is going in our office as soon as you can ship this thing here.
You got it. You got it. Arrives in 2 days if you live in Chicago.
Where do people go to get this, to eat this delicious food, download the app? Tell me all of the information around what.
Yeah, so you can go to our website, tavola.com. You can learn a ton about the product, buy it there. If you live in Chicago, you'll get it within a couple days. And then I mentioned the pop-up. Our pop-up is opening at the end of July. It's in the heart of Lincoln Park, so right under the Brown Line on Armitage and Sheffield, and it'll be open for about a month and a half. You can come on in, try the product, learn all about it, and decide if it works for you.
I can tell you people right now, it is going to work for you. This is, I'm not even kidding, this is unbelievable.
Thank you.
I'm a big salmon guy, so we try to grill it all the time, and it's always like, I tinfoil it, like I go through a whole lot of work that I am not going to go through anymore.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to make your own salmon, you put the salmon in, push the salmon button on the app, and it just does its thing.
Life just got a whole lot easier. David, thank you so much for coming and taking the time.
My pleasure.
Thank you for feeding me, by the way. I was starving, and this is like the perfect deal.
I'm jealous.
You know where to find more
food. I'm going back
to
the office. I'm going to have one of these myself.
Absolutely. So for those of you listening to the show, you can catch all the pictures, the videos, all this stuff on Instagram. We're going to be posting it there on Facebook and wherever else we post everything. Follow us at TechNori. You want to catch this episode and more, you can, of course, go to technori.com. You can check out listen.technori.com, and you can listen to this in the most amazing, incredible way. We've spent a lot of money trying to get our our user experience up and running better. So please check out listen.technori.com. And of course, you can follow us, like I said, on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.